Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This week, Groundwire is produced at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. I'm your host this week, Aaron Hudson. In this edition...
You keep your workers down, we're gonna keep your planes on the ground, no contracts, no fuel!
This country is a country of immigrants, and we have to open more and more and more and help that people. Because we are no criminals, we are no illegal people.
I was called a child today in court. I was spoken to like an insolent little baby. And I was told that I could be thrown out of the court faster than I would know that my head would spin.
But first, here are the headlines. We have a labor headline from the Toronto Island Airport.
You keep your workers down, we're gonna keep your planes on the ground, no contracts, no fuel. No fuel.
22 fuelers employed by Porter Airlines are currently on strike for the first collective agreement with the airline. At issue are wage increases and a safety contract with Porter. On March 10th, fuelers occupied the airport ferry terminal. They stopped fuel shipments and passenger transfers from Toronto to the Toronto Island for approximately 90 minutes. The blockade began at 8:30 p.m. and lasted until 9:55. Occupiers reported police aggression initially, however the conflict did not escalate. The occupation ended peacefully and fuel and passenger transfers resumed. The strike began on January 17, 2013. The striking fueler workers are responsible for refueling all aircrafts at the Toronto Island Billy Bishop Airport, the base of Porter Airlines, which comprises of a small fleet of planes, mainly flying between Toronto, Montreal, and New York. Since the strike began, Porter has employed 30 scab workers to continue its operations, which the airline states means their services are not affected. This report was brought to you by Syndicalista TV News. On March 21st, the Conservatives' federal budget announced a slash of about $100 million from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans beginning in 2015. In a press release sent out by Simon Fraser University, fish biologist John Reynolds said the cut adds insult to injury, pointing out that the budget promotes increases in aquaculture. Quote, "This flies in the face of the recommendations of the government's own $26 million judicial inquiry, the Cohen Commission, which recommended that the priorities go the other way," said Reynolds. "We've been waiting nearly 5 months for a reply to the Cohen Commission's recommendations. I hope this isn't it." Unquote. The Cohen Commission was released in October last year and examined the decline of the sockeye salmon populations in British Columbia. Cohen's report made 75 recommendations and found the causes of declining populations to vary from climate change impacts to the government's weakening efforts to protect salmon in BC 38. Cohen also pointed out the conflict of interest in the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, as the department is charged with spearheading conservation efforts along with developing aquaculture like salmon farms. Also on March 21st, another contamination site along Enbridge's Norman Wells pipeline was found. The National Energy Board confirmed that this is the fourth contamination site found along this pipeline to CKLB News. The pipeline spans 869 kilometers and runs from northern Alberta to Norman Wells, Northwest Territories. The pipeline is 30 years old and is to receive stainless steel sleeves, labeled a Band-Aid solution by its critics. The spill occurred on the traditional territory of the Padexkidane First Nation. Band manager Brad Enge told CKLB that the spill is part of a troubling trend and community members are concerned. Enbridge and the National Energy Board say the spill is not a concern for wildlife or the public. Padexkidane contractors are hauling the contaminated soil to a landfill in Fort Nelson, BC. Enbridge has applied to reverse the flow of its eastern pipeline, Line 9, so as to traffic oil from Ontario through Quebec, and eventually down through the United States. Enbridge is also continuing to try to construct a western pipeline, known as the Northern Gateway Pipeline Project, sparking immense resistance from communities throughout the West Coast. That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this. That was Earth Angel by Northern Cree from their album Dancer's Groove. Now it's time for our feature stories. In our first feature, we will hear the story of Oscar Mata's deportation and the treatment he received by the mainstream media. The film was made by Sarah Kay, an Arab underscore hero, and is available to view at the Vancouver Media Co-op site. Solidarity with CBSA deportee Oscar Mata. 3 a.m. on March 20th, 2013, Vancouver Airport, unceded Musqueam Territories. Supporters are gathered in the airport holding signs like Stop the Raids. Oscar and seven others were arrested during a CBSA raid at their worksite, accompanied by a reality TV crew.
Last Wednesday, when I was working,
Oscar is interviewed by mainstream media.
Yes, I can see what immigration guy that's outside, and they already catch a friend. So yes, I run very fast, and I try to find a place inside of the unit. After that, the people waiting, and the official, he was there, and yes, he find me. And when I go out of the unit, I can see that guy. He asked me a couple of questions about my status, about why I'm working there, how long I have in Canada, how I come to Canada. I answer every question. And after that, I can see the guy have a problem. Another guy's with a professional with a camera, a professional microphone.
Days later, mainstream news stayed on the story, filming Oscar's departure here at the airport. Thomas Warren, Sanctuary Health, is interviewed by CBC.
I'm dealing with, obviously, a hostile Seaman press.
You're going to be deported anyway, so what's your problem with the show?
I think the show is taking something that scares people. I mean, it shows no context. It doesn't show the pain in that community. It doesn't show the pain of Oscar's family members. It doesn't show the context that forces people to migrate. People are moving and migrating all around the world, not because they're out to break laws, not because they're out to hurt anybody else, but because they need to. And it's wrong to turn that into an exploitive television show that just shows these people, depicts them as criminals, and depicts it as somehow being heroic to send them out of the country when it's not.
So what's the difference of someone working here illegally and someone smuggling drugs across the border?
Whenever you want to.
That is an appalling question. You should send it yourself.
Have been discussing about
Byron Cruz, Sanctuary Health.
In Toronto, there is a group of Mexicans that are demanding the regularization of migrant workers. Then we would like to see the same thing here. It's one of our demands that all the workers that are here right now, migrant workers, should be regularized. There should be a system where immigration can provide the opportunities for them. They are here now. We have to recognize that it's a workforce that is present here. That it
No one is illegal.
With the new policy in Toronto, the sanctuary city in Toronto, there is an opportunity to start debating, and there is an opportunity to also respect the human rights of migrant workers. Then we would like to see also in Vancouver a sanctuary city where people can have that access without fear, having the opportunity for their kids to go to school without the fear to have CBSA coming and harassing them at the school.
Katie Zalhar, Sanctuary Health, and No One Is Illegal.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity that they have, the entitlement over this land that is stolen to begin with. I mean, we're on unceded land, and then they think they can just, like, have the entitlement to be able to kick people off of it. And, I don't know, it's just so... It's so rooted in racism and colonialism, and the fact that it's denied and hidden is just so telling of how Canada is built. You know, it's just so telling that this is happening, and only now are, like, news media starting to pay attention to it, just because there's this added kick of a reality show, which is also appalling, but just noticing that these deportations happen all the time. You know, these deportations and raids and like, racist treatment of migrant workers happens every day, right?
What the media did today are was basically
what the media or CBSA
during the raiding aid. It's just again and again, people here who were going through the struggles became the specimens to be investigated. The whole idea behind, like, they being migrant worker, being like not good enough to be a Canadian citizen, and that's why they're a liability to the government, to the people here. That all just gets reproduced in a very subtle way, and it just makes the mainstream media more harmful. That's it.
Some parting words from Oscar to the people who supported him.
To everyone, thank you. Thank you for everything. So I hope in the future we can get more options, more opportunities, because this country is a country of immigrants, and we have to open more and more and more and help that people, because we are no criminals, we are no illegal people, yes, we are poor people, nice people, that we need opportunity to work.
Our next feature focuses on the ongoing fight of the Matthias Colum Cree Nation against mining company Hud Bay. The most recent struggle began on January 28th with a stop work order from the Cree Nation, with a demonstration organized as part of the Idle No More movement. We go to recordings taken that day. Hud Bay, Leller Mine, Chisel North site.
Hi, my name is Chief Arlen Dumas from the Matthias Colum Cree Nation, Pukkinewaga Indian Reserve. And we're here today to serve notice to the province of Manitoba and to Hud Bay that we are no longer going to accept their assertions that they are not operating on our territory. This is the territory of the Mississippi Dinyuk, the Matthias Colum Cree Nation, that we are here. And we're here today as well to present a stop work order on the Lalor project until the province and Hud Bay has received our consent, and that we are not going to waver in our stance, and that we will continue on to support the Idle No More movement, and we will support the livelihoods of our children. That is what we're here doing today.
What do you want from the mine?
The mine has to understand that we are a sovereign nation, and that this is our land and this is our territory, and that they need to respect the rule of law. They need to respect the laws of Canada, but they also have to respect the laws of the Matthias Colum Cree Nation, and that if they're wanting to move forward on this project, then we're going to have to be a part of that in a meaningful way. And that from this day forward, we expect a renewed relationship with them. Our people deserve a share of resources, because when we entered into treaty, you know, the solemn relationships that we have, you know, we did not relinquish our sovereignty. We did not cede any our title to the minerals. You know, we agreed that we would share and we would collaborate and work together with our partners, and that's what we're wanting to do today.
What message would you send to the Prime Minister if you could say something to him?
I would challenge the Prime Minister on what he has said openly, that he is supportive of natural resource benefits sharing with First Nations, and that we need to become a meaningful partner in the development and the economy of this country, you know. And I also expect him to respect the rule of law, and that he said himself that he expects people to follow the rule of law. Well, so do we. You know, we champion that notion, and we expect that everybody else follow it.
Are you letting anybody through here today?
No, we're not letting anybody through. We're allowing for individuals that need to go home to their families. They're more than willing to do that, but we're not going to be allowing any vehicles that are continuing on doing the work for Hudbay today.
Had they been notified, and what was their response?
We've notified them, but we haven't heard a response yet. So I will be posting this notice on their buildings here, and I guess this is actually it further exemplifies the poor situation, because we've been out here for the better part of the day, and no one has had the respect to come out here and speak with us and address our issues. Okay, the conversation has to change, because it's not about consultation and impacts. It's about ownership and consent.
I know that's Arlen Dumas, Chief of Matthias Cologne. And that's Pam?
Pam Palmer, yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about Idle No More?
Oh yeah, Idle No More rocks. It's a grassroots people's movement, and it's primarily people all across the country standing up to protect the lands and waters and First Nations sovereignty. But the cool thing about it is that it's not just First Nations. It's both treaty partners, so Canadians and First Nations, standing up to protect what's ours and what we need for our future generations. And so that's why Idle No More is here today to stand in solidarity with Chief Dumas and Matthias Cologne Cree Nation. And they're asserting their sovereignty, their laws, their authority to protect all of this unceded territory for their future generations.
Arlen, why did you choose Hudbay, the location?
Well, I chose Snow Lake because we've been in discussions since 2008, where we're asserting ourselves in our ancestral lands, because our lands are not only on reserve, they're not only on TLE, our lands are all of our lands, like we were taught by our grandparents and our ancestors. And the reason why I chose Snow Lake, Lalor Lake site, is because the province of Manitoba, as well as Hudbay, have claimed that for the last 50 years there are no Native people on this part of our territory, and which I find ridiculous, because we have band members to this day that are only a few kilometers away from this site that still use their land, that exercise their treaty and their inherent rights. So today was a day to showcase that yes, we are here, and you can see all of them. This is our land, and we can come and go here as we please, because this is our sovereign territory.
What would you say to any one of the local residents who say they've been here for 70 years or more? What about them?
The Snow Lake residents? We know that. We've been here watching them for the last 70 years, but we've also been here as well. We've helped them establish this town. We showed them where the travel routes were. We joined them when they were part of the fur industry. We allowed for them to develop alongside with us. It's just that, unfortunately, through history, one side of that partnership didn't prosper the way the other one did. But from this day forward, we're going to start to change that.
Pat, is there anything else you want to say to the, we'll say to Indian country?
Yeah, I think what Chief Dulles is doing with this stop work order on Hudson Bay and asserting the traditional laws of the Cree is something that's really important, because he's changing the dialogue that happens at negotiating tables. Right now, the provinces and all of these mining companies talk about consultation and a little bit of compensation for alleged impacts. And what Chief Dumas is doing is changing the dialogue to one of ownership, because the Cree who own these territories and resources, and the discussion then is not around consultation, it's around consent, because the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples mandates free, informed, and prior consent, and that's what they're demanding here.
How do you think from this day forward the Hud Bay will move forward? Are they talking? Other than just talking to you, what else have they offered? Anything yet?
They haven't offered anything substantive, and they've always wanted to address the issue on their terms, but you have to keep in mind that their terms are not our terms, and they're not to our advantage, right? According to Hud Bay and according to the province of Manitoba, there are no Indians here. So that's not a very good place to start discussion from. So what we're saying is that this is our land. We're sovereign. We own it. So if you want to develop it, well, then you're going to need our consent to do so. And then that's where the dialogue is going to start from. As we move forward.
Okay.
The Matthias-Kalum Cree Nation has been in conflict with Hud Bay for years. Hud Bay is now attempting to sue the community for Idle No More demonstrations around the entrance of the mine on both January 28th and March 5th. On March 20th, a Winnipeg court granted Hud Bay an injunction to keep the Matthias-Kalum Cree Nation, and specifically Chief Dumas and organizer Pam Palmiter, from holding future Idle No More demonstrations around the mine. We go to the response of Chief Arlen Dumas, who walked out of court that day, and why.
I just wanted to come and share what has transpired in regards to this issue with my community. Over the past 5-6 years, we've attempted numerous times through email, through meetings, through correspondence, to assist with dealing with this issue, which impacts our constitutionally protected rights, interests of the Matthias-Kalum Cree Nation, our treaty rights, our inherent rights, in a meaningful way with the province and Hud Bay. Regardless of these our best efforts and our best intentions, there have been no results. While the company is willfully expending hundreds of millions of dollars, my community still remains in poverty. We still remain managing the poverty that we have to contend with every day. I acknowledge my community for being supportive and allowing me to work through this process in order to attempt to better their lives and the lives of everyone that is impacted by this issue. Hud Bay has been operating on our traditional lands for well over 80 years. They've operated 26 mines. They've harvested $150 billion worth of natural resources from our territory, and not a cent has come into our community. There's no legacy of Hud Bay exploiting our resources in our territory, and those days are over. I have to appeal to my membership from Burntwood, from Sheridan, from Cormorant, who are going to become instantly criminalized if Hud Bay is awarded this decision by the courts that they've brought forward today. We've attempted to work in a meaningful way, in a constructive way, to deal with this issue, but they have come down with an anvil through the court system to quash our constitutionally protected rights, and that cannot be allowed to happen. It's very heavy-handed. Not only are they wanting to sue us for millions, they're wanting to place me in jail and any of my community members. It's completely unacceptable that on one hand we're told we need to respect the rule of law, but in the same breath we're bending rules for big business and corporations. Today was sort of a last effort that at least our story could be told, that we would have an opportunity in a just way to relay our side of the story, to relay our message, our history, the fact that everything that we've done has been in good faith, everything we've done has been respectful, we've been peaceful, we do not want to harm anybody. We heard issues of safety were brought forward when all the issues I've heard have been had to do with somebody's bottom line and had nothing to do with safety and protecting people like we have. I was called a child today in court. I was spoken to like an insolent little baby, and I was told that I could be thrown out of the court faster than I would know that my head would spin. So upon being told that, and upon the fact that my representatives were unable, they were not given the privilege to do their job and speak in a good way in that court system, and after being chastised the way I was, I had no other alternative but to get up and remove myself from such a disrespectful situation, and I would not be a party to that. So that is why I walked out of the courtroom today and left the issues in the capable hands of my representatives. So thank you for coming out today and assisting us in drawing attention to this matter. This is an issue we have with the corporation of Hud Bay. We have no issue with our friends and people that live in our traditional territories in Snow Lake and Flint Flon or anywhere else. We have no issue with people who need to be gainfully employed and we don't want to hinder their livelihoods. This is an issue we have between the government and big business. So thank you very much for this opportunity. That's it.
The complete video, including statements of support for the Matias Colom Cree Nation, can be found on YouTube under the title Press Conference, Chief Dumas, March 20th, 2013.
Earth Angel.
That's it for this edition of Groundwire from CKUT in Montreal. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Aaron Hudson. Music this week was by Northern Cree. Headlines this week were written by Aaron Hudson. We also thank Frida Warren, Isaac K. Oman, and Douglas R. Thomas. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download at groundwire.ncra.ca. Groundwire is a project of the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
The stars were out so bright, the biggest one was under.